Morning, David Goodman, Director of Harbours.
And so where are we today? What are we looking at right now?
So we're here stood today in the Marine Operations Centre, commonly known as the MOC. It's a central command area for all of Harbours. And I came into role 2.5 months ago. And one of the first things that impressed me with Harbours was actually this centre here. I had no idea how comprehensive it was and what it actually did. So today we'll take you through, or Mac will take you through today, exactly what you can see in front of you and how important it is for the Isle of Man infrastructure.
Perfect. So you ready to give us a tour?
Absolutely. Michael MacDonald, Interim Ports Manager, Harbour Master. So what you're looking at now are three working stations. Normally on a normal pattern, we are a 24-hour centre, and normally we have a senior watch officer and a watch officer on duty. However, with shift patterns and annual leave and this, that and the other, we do have bank officers, and sometimes we'll have, you know, two watch officers on duty. At the moment, we've got a senior watch officer called Chris, and we've got a watch officer called Audrey, who are on duty today. And they're basically here to monitor communications on VHF and on telephone, and on Tetra as well, for harbour and Coast Guard operations. Their day-to-day job, basically, apart from the communication side of it, is to monitor also vessel movements within Douglas Harbour and, in some cases, remotely in Peel. They have the ability to operate all the harbour bridges, so Peel Bridge remotely and Douglas Bridge here. And like the tanker movements, the steam packet movements, pleasure craft movements, they should all be coming through here on VHF, asking permission to enter or to leave.
And so in layman's terms, just to jump in there, what's VHF?
Oh, it's very high frequency radio. So all our customers, basically commercial and pleasure craft, operate on VHF radio. On different channels, which we have, we monitor here on our new system. Plus, we also, for search and rescue, Coast Guard search and rescue, they also operate on VHF, again, on certain channels. So, and we have the ability to monitor and transmit on them as well.
So on a typical day-to-day, you're basically monitoring everything coming in and out of basically all the water space on the Isle of Man?
Yeah, all our territorial seas, anyone transmitting in our territorial seas, and probably a little bit further out, because VHF works on line of sight, and we've got a great big aerial up on Snaey Fell, which gives us a bigger area of coverage. So yeah, we can monitor most traffic, VHF traffic on those aerials, yeah.
What are the sort of challenges that come up a lot? Is there any particularly busy times that you're trying to coordinate a lot of different ships all in one go?
Yeah, well, we have the normal commercial traffic, the steam packet going out in regular times. Come summertime, that traffic increases, TT. Is particularly very challenging. So yes, we have a lot of, again, summertime, a lot of yachts, power motorboats coming in, both in Douglas and Peel and Ramsey and over harbours, which we have to monitor and plan for. Yeah, and in between all that lot, we might end up with a Coast Guard incident that happens on our coast that we are meant to coordinate, which starts here. So in between them doing their normal day-to-day job, they will then have to deal with a 999 call or a Mayday call, which then they have to, in the initial stages, figure out who they're going to pass that on to, whether it be a local duty officer or to HM Coast Guard.
We're heading into spring, but through the winter, is it a challenge with the weather at all?
Yeah, we have challenges. As we are a harbours, so we are legally committed to providing a safe haven for any traffic that's out there, whether it be small pleasure craft or big commercial vessels, so giving them shelter and stuff like that. Douglas and Peel have a marina, so there's a time limit to when vessels can come in and out of the inner harbour, which is 4 hours, so 2 hours before high water, 2 hours after, before and after high water, which again, with the weather, can make that a little bit difficult, you know, because it's a very small window. But the Isle of Man relatively is a relatively safe harbour. It's an island in the middle of the Irish Sea, so whichever wind direction it's going, vessels are usually able to you know, get to the lee side of the island and be sheltered from the wind and the weather. Yeah.
And you mentioned coordinating with Coast Guard as well. So when there is an incident, how does that come into play? Obviously, it must be a big multi-agency response. Are you coordinating all the different agencies? Are they coming through you?
Yes. So we have what we call a memorandum of understanding with HM Coast Guard, which basically says anything that's offshore or, yeah, in our territorial waters, although we are responsible for that search and rescue, they will coordinate that on our behalf. And they will bring to bear all the rescue assets that they have, which includes helicopters, our local lifeboats, and then we'll bring our local rescue teams and this, that and the other. If it's close inshore or on the shore, then we hold on to that coordination, and that is then coordinated from this centre, from the Marine Operations Centre, through a Coast Guard duty officer, and they will coordinate 5 rescue teams. They'll also be able to coordinate the helicopters from across, from HM Coast Guard. We can directly contact them and task them, and we will coordinate the local lifeboats here as well. And we can also bring in things like the police, the fire, the ambulance. We all have Tetra radios that we can all talk to. The dog teams, the Isle of Man search and rescue dog teams, the civil defence. So we can all get together, coordinate it for any search and rescue, really coastal or inland, because the Coast Guard also go into inland as well, which is coordinated here if it's a Coast Guard incident.
Also, we add as well medevacs and hospital as well. That's coordinated from here as well.
Yeah, so occasionally the hospital, the Nobles Hospital, will ask if they could have use of a rescue helicopter from the UK to do a medical transfer. It's not classed as a search and rescue, and there's a cost involved in that. However, they have been used on a regular basis. The UK helicopters have a bigger window to operate, certainly at night and in certain weather conditions, coldness, this year. We also have another contract, or the Nobles Hospital have another contract with the Great Manchester Northern Helicopter as well. So there's another avenue for that type of thing as well.
You gather from that there's an awful lot going on at any one time here. So we've recently upgraded the systems to make it more resilient and for the future proof it. And part of that ability to, if this area here gets shut down for any reason, we can operate remotely out of our secondary unit, which is based out in Peel, so we keep operations going seamlessly. That also involves lifting of the bridges in Peel or the flap gates. We can all coordinate from here. I'll turn back to Mac, who can probably discuss that one better.
Yes, so part of the scheme of upgrading the Marine Operations Centre from its current communication system to a new communication system, We also brought in a brand new command and control system for incidents. We also added into the scheme of works a beta site, a backup site, which is away from Douglas. And we chose Peel, obviously, because it's got another marina. It's one of the other busier ports. So in Peel Harbour Office, we have now set up the same systems that we have here. So if we ever lose, for any reason, the sea terminal, we can man the backup Marine Operations Centre and then transfer the operations over, like David said, seamlessly, hopefully.
We very rarely have kind of major incidents in the way of the other week where we had that bomb threat, the hoax. But in that, the marina was, you know, boats were allowed in at a certain point. Was that an example of when you have to sort of coordinate with like emergency services to be able to be like, okay, we can let the boats in and out then at this time?
Yeah, we certainly for Douglas Harbour. Douglas Harbour is the gateway to the Isle of Man, basically. It is it's where all our goods come through. 95% of all goods come through this port, so we have to protect it. So if we have a major incident involving, like you say, a vessel that might be in distress, we as the harbours and Coast Guard have to risk assess whether we would allow that boat in. And if it is deemed to be allowed in, then we coordinate that with the emergency services as to how we evacuate that vessel, how we deal with that vessel. When it comes to major incidents, it can be quite a complicated around the table discussions as to what we're going to do. The good thing about the maritime world is boats aren't particularly fast, which gives us a little bit of time to get together and talk about what we're going to do. But safety is always the issue. The crew, the passengers, they come first. Infrastructure comes kind of like second, but we have to weigh that up.
It's like you were both saying, there's a lot of moving parts at all times here. What goes into doing your job?
Well, to do the Marine Operations Centre, so the watch officer, you have to have some seafaring experience, whether that be on commercial vessels or on pleasure craft. Our starting point normally is, if you're interested in the maritime world and you have, say, a day skipper qualification, the rest of it, the actual operational side of it, we do that as internal training. The main thing is, we need people who have an understanding of the maritime environment. There are tides out there, there is wind conditions, weather conditions. Someone off the street generally doesn't have that. So that's what we ask for. As for a senior watch officer, watch officers can build themselves up to maybe get a yacht master qualification, which then gives them the ability to apply for a senior watch officer. Anyone who has, like so Chris, he has an extensive background in commercial qualifications. So he was a direct entry into the senior watch officer spot, which we have. Okay, we've had a couple who have come from the Merchant Navy or the Royal Navy and come into the Marine Operations Centre. But yeah, generally they have to have some type of maritime qualification.
So we've got a really diverse team, but really highly skilled team, and we keep that training up with them all the time. If we go back to the digital side of things, Mac was talking about a major incident, how we communicate with all the different stakeholders. We've recently got an app which runs it in lifetime, so me as director, I always know what's going on. Trust the team explicitly, they know exactly what they're doing, but it's quite nice. On Sunday morning, something's going down, like a dog's been rescued off a cliff somewhere, it pops off my phone and I got full details, who's talking to who, who's liaising with who, photographs is required, so just so it keeps me fully informed. I don't need to get involved, but if anybody wants to ask me what's going on, or the minister comes and says what's going on, I know exactly on time, although the team, of course, know exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned a dog off a cliff, because that was a recent one, wasn't it?
It's a fairly common one, but yeah.
So from a Coast Guard point of view, we regard pets as people. So if a dog, cat, or your pet chicken, I don't know, falls over a cliff or finds itself in difficulty in the water or anything like that, we will treat that incident as a person. So we will task Coast Guard rescue teams, even during working hours, to go and do that rescue. The reason being, we don't want the owner of the animal trying to do the rescue themselves and then getting themselves into trouble. Yes, so for that instance where we have dog, we do occasionally get dog rescues. It's dogs are dogs and they like to chase things. We will drop everything and do that rescue. With regards to livestock, we will try to rescue livestock. However, we will do that after working hours, and in some instances, the livestock itself are just too big for us to deal with. So there's a limit to what we can do.
I take it you don't often have to chase after like chickens, though.
No, chickens are very rare. Although I have rescued a cat off a cliff once.
Okay, well that's one for the CV, I think.
Our new integrated communication system, IX, as we call it, not only gives us better range for VHF and a better ability to telephone people, it also has increased our TETRA abilities. TETRA is the local government, Alaman government radio system. And on the handheld radios that drivers, officers and all that have, they have the emergency button. In the past, if you press that emergency button, depending on the time of day, it would depend on whether anyone was there to answer it. So the new system now allows us not only to monitor and respond to any red button presses for our own staff, which includes our port security staff, our Coast Guard staff, it's now allowed us now to monitor any other government user. So at the moment, because we're all part of the DOI, the Department of Infrastructure, we are now have a what we call an SLA, service level agreement, with the Alaman DOI civil engineers. So when they're out doing things like gritting and stuff like that, the gritters, if they get into trouble, they press the red button, the operators here will hear that and will then follow their procedures to contact the emergency services or their line managers.
That element's really interesting because I don't think people would associate the Marines Operations Centre with having anything to do with gritters. So is there any other sort of elements that we wouldn't know that you control or oversee here that maybe the public wouldn't know about?
Not at the moment. It's just this is our first, because the technology's now allowed us to do it. We've always talked about as a department, how can all integrate and work better together and who does what and do we need to reinvent the wheel. The fact that we have a 24-hour operations centre allows us to monitor Tetris, which the Alban government use for lone working. And this is probably, it may expand, but we also have our first task, which is harbour operations and Coast Guard operations. We will do as much as we can with the resources that we've got. The technology is there, though, to allow that.
The bottom line is, as Max says, it's a 24/7 centre. It's manned 24/7. We can respond to almost anything, and technology will let us do that now as well. Whether we do it in here or do it remotely from Peel, we can all remotely from our laptops at home, and we can utilise it quite well. And we'll look to expand that in the future if we can. But it's a recognisation that actually we're here and just use us.
I see, even that as well, the fact that it is manned 24/7, people maybe think that the centre is only used when the steam pack is going in and out. Is there any other sort of myths you'd want to dispel, really?
We are a 24-hour centre because the tides go in and out at different times of the day, and that changes daily. So, yes, the steam packet go in on a regular basis, they have their schedules, but yachts and other vessels can come in at any time if the tide allows. So that's why we're a 24-hour centre, and we keep two offices on all three shifts. So even though nighttime is relatively quieter than daytime, sometimes the tide doesn't allow that, and boats will come in, and it can be quite hectic here. Yeah.
It's also about keeping the Isle of Man safe as well. I'm looking at a screen now. For example, I'm looking at Peel Footbridge. I can see people walking across it at the moment. And we've got screens all around the room here, various harbours, various roads all linking in, so we keep an eye on the whole area. So if anything flags up there, we can straight away call somebody, talk to somebody, or pass a message on. It's about coordinating all the data coming into us.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.